Astonishing Legends Network.
It's Flashback Friday, and you know what that means. A classic episode of Scared All the Time's fan favorite bonus show, New Fear Unlocked, is out of the vault and on the main feed. This episode originally aired on Patreon May 22nd, 2025, but is being played by you right now.
Disclaimer: this episode includes the usual amount of adult language and graphic discussions you've come to expect around here. But in the event it becomes an unusual amount, expect another call from me.
You can't take a week off, not when the people need content. So it's time to fill the trough with something halfway decent. That only sort of rhymed, which is about halfway to decent. So we're doing fine. And you're doing fine. And now it's time for a bonus episode, an unnamed new kind of show, featuring the hosts you know. And it starts right now. And it starts right now.
Hey everybody, welcome back to New Fear Unlocked, the bonus episode of Scared All the Time. This week, we have a treat for you. We are actually unlocking a new fear for the first time on New Fear Unlocked.
Breaking news.
So far, we've had a run of fun episodes, but all fears that are pre-existing or just emails and not even fears at all. Although I guess we have for a long time talked about our fear of emails. But this week, we have something that is extremely relevant, unfortunately, and something that I think is kind of the cutting edge of scary things and horrible things that could befall a human being in the year 2025. So, Ed, I was going to say, would you like to guess what it is? But you sent me this article.
I didn't read it, but I sent you the headline I saw. Per usual.
Well, per usual, Ed didn't read it. But I took a look at it and thought, hey, this is pretty interesting. So we this week are going to be discussing an article from futurism.com filed under AI-induced psychosis. Headline, ChatGPT users are developing bizarre delusions.
Okay.
Quote, the messages were insane and just saying a bunch of spiritual jargon.
I don't understand what the fuck you're talking about. So people use ChatGPT and they got back weird messages?
Well,
who uses ChatGPT for literally anything other than some work you're doing? I guess that's, you know, what we're dealing with, right? The loneliness epidemic, I feel like, is going to rear its ugly head here.
I think we're dealing with the loneliness epidemic. I think we are dealing with a lot of people who are beginning to offload a lot of their thinking just to ChatGPT or other ChatGPT-like applications.
Hey, man, you have a thought? Maybe don't, you know, suck all the water out of the planet and destroy the rainforest because you want to ask a computer if you're ever going to get a friend. Like, what the fuck? Just Google that shit. It takes so much less energy on the planet and the world.
But even crazier and scarier than that to me is that there are kids now. I forget if this was in the recent article that just came out in The Atlantic or if I saw this somewhere else. But the use of these apps is so prevalent in schools that there are reports of kids who are, like, if they think, like, oh, I should text, I want to ask my friend to come to lunch with me, they'll ask ChatGPT, hey, I need to send a text to my friend to go to lunch. What should I say?
Ugh,
and then
gross.
They'll text what ChatGPT says.
That's so dumb. You know how many times I like want to throw my phone out the fucking window just because the new OS is like, you want me to help you write this text?
Yeah.
You want me to help you write this email?
Yeah.
And I'm like, what sub menu setting do I need to go to where I'm never have to see this fucking button again? But I guess that's just old ass us, because what you're saying is kids not only hit that button, they seek it out.
Yeah.
Which is fucking bananas.
Now, look, I don't want to, you know, fearmonger here. I certainly don't want to be like the tech Luddite version of, hey, the kids are peeing in litter boxes at school.
I mean, that was nonsense, but yeah, I do. I mean, they coined the term brain rot, right? The
yes.
Gen Alpha. So of course, you know what it is? They got flatheads. They got fucking smooth brains. These kids, maybe they're not using them.
Smooth domes.
They're not using them. They're having something else write their fucking text for them.
Well, my point is, you know, I don't want to play up as this being a super widespread thing, because I don't know for sure.
Too late. Too late. I'm livid and I'm here to rile everyone up.
And the fear has been unlocked. So what are you going to do about it?
There it is.
No, you know, it's not a great direction to be heading. That's for sure. Even if it's just here and there, it's a pretty disturbing trend. And I'll say, you know, we've discussed our uses of AI before. And I think, I don't know if we've actually talked about it on the show, but you and I have recently talked about how the best use of AI is as a instruction manual for anything.
Mm-hmm, sure. But not an instruction manual on how to write a text message.
No, not at all. But, you know, you and I have found it very useful for tasks around the house or trying to build something or fix something. You can say, hey, I'm trying to do this. Sometimes you can even upload a picture and it'll walk you through and you can ask it questions as you go. And it's a more almost like feels like a more human, more conversational version of a instruction manual, which is great.
Yeah, but I will say AI is not replacing us this week because most of the questions I ask it are you sure you meant to say that?
Yes.
Do you mean I should use a hammer to pour cereal or whatever? Like it's kind of your worst student. Like if I was a teacher, AI is too often my worst student where
yeah.
I'm like, okay, cool. So can you make that into a zip and get it for me? And it's always like, you got it, pal. Here's a link. Click that. The zip works. And then it inevitably doesn't work. And I say, hey, this zip fucking file or whatever doesn't work. And it goes, you know what? You're absolutely right. And this one will.
Yeah.
And then that's sort of God, that's how it speaks.
Yeah.
And then I click it and I'm like, hey, bud, still not fucking working. And then sometimes it'll give me a file and then it'll just be missing things that said were in there. It just feels like a little bit like me as a student, but like it just feels like a bad student where it's constantly just making excuses for like really simple tasks I gave it.
It is.
And so, yeah, if I can't trust it at that level, why would I trust it to help me build relationships?
Certainly. No, certainly. I don't think you want to trust it to build relationships or, you know, I'm sure there's people out there who have used it to help write a best man speech or write a eulogy at a funeral. And that's crazy, too, because that should be the most emotional, heartfelt, personal kind of writing, even if it's not. I think a lot of people want it, you know, they're like, oh, I want it to be good, and totally miss the point that the best version of those types of things is just coming from the heart, and it doesn't matter if it's well written or not. And ChatGPT certainly isn't going to write it better than you can. So
no, I would love to see a best man and a maid of honor each use ChatGPT, but not no one knew, and then they had the exact same speeches. It's like ChatGPT. I think I caught one of my brothers use ChatGPT to write a Father's Day card thing,
probably
because I was like, this is not how anyone talks. This was early ChatGPT, like first fucking 2 months it was out. And then I went and with my dad sitting there, I'm like, hold on, we're going to ask this machine, hey, write me a Father's Day thing. He's a plumber or whatever. Mm. And it was almost verbatim my brother's card. And I'm like, got your ass, woo, you piece of shit.
Well, I think what ChatGPT has exposed to me is how few people who should be able to distinguish a writer's voice can't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like mm-hmm. I have seen so many articles that have been published. I've seen two now in the Hollywood Reporter. Usually, and look, the standard for journalism there is not high, but there is one of the articles was about the dangers of using AI and what it could do to the film industry. And there were numerous phrases and kind of rhetorical structures in that article that were, to me, very much the telltale signs of someone having used an AI to write this thing. So if editors and producers and people who are supposed to be great judges of voice, if they're not seeing this, they need to start figuring out how to, because it just shows that they're not very good at their jobs.
I did a job interview 6 months ago, almost a year ago now, where it was our, you know, we get to do a bunch of free writing as part of our fucking job.
Always.
Interviews in life. And I remember handing in a bunch of shit that I definitely wrote myself, and they were like, oh, this is, it didn't come through as clear on like our AI checker thing. And I was like, fuck you. I don't care about this job enough to have, I just did the task. So I remember getting so mad about it. And then I went on like LinkedIn or whatever. I was taken to like a LinkedIn fucking, I don't know, message board where people were all complaining about this in different fields.
Yeah.
Being like, I did my work and now this employer, and it just, and they were like kind of conspiratorially being like, I think it's because they want to take your material, and then they can say, oh, you didn't write it. Our AI checker said you didn't write it, so we don't have to pay you for this and blah, blah, blah. And where I think it was a little bit, we had companies who were desperate to do something greasy, where I think they were very excited on the other end to like, yeah, can we not pay people? Can we figure a way around this?
Yeah.
And I just remember also thinking, wait, do I have to set up a camera behind me as I do all my work? If this is going to be a thing where I apply for a job. And again, this was not a job in Hollywood. This was some other bullshit job. But it was like, is that our lives now? We have to like fucking videotape ourselves?
No, I think.
Proving we did the work?
I think what's going to happen, and I think happen faster than any of us are even necessarily prepared for, is I think a lot of things are going to now move offline. Like, I think we're going to hit a point where job interviews are going to be exclusively in person, and they won't require...
No way.
Yeah, I think so.
Where are you hearing this?
No.
I don't think so.
Well, I'm not hearing it anywhere.
I think people like remote work. People like remote work too much to jeopardize that. I don't like it personally, but I think managers and fucking corporate people maybe like it so much. They like walking their dog. I mean, listen, I am living with someone right now who has remote work. And I mean, a number of times they're laying on the couch or fucking, or I'm working out or I'm doing whatever. You can't do that in a 9-to-6.
I'm just saying any industry where the reality where the work relies on you not having used AI, or where they feel that it's important that you don't use AI, I don't think you're going to have to videotape yourself. I think it's just like tests, right? Like, you know, kids are going to have to start writing essays longhand in class. They're not going to be able to send them in.
Well, that makes sense because they're all fucking brain rot dummies.
Right.
And so I would require it because I don't believe for a second the person who's asking ChatGPT to help them craft a do you want to come to my birthday party text. I don't believe for a second they're doing their homework.
No. Well,
it's just not happening.
And ChatGPT this year. I don't know if you've heard any of the commercials. I don't know that any have aired on our podcast, but I've heard on other podcasts commercials for ChatGPT. They are giving free premium subscriptions to any college student who wants one. And the commercial is really funny because it's like, hey, you know, ChatGPT is great at helping to solve your problems. You could ask it how to help balance studying and fun. You could ask it for a recipe for those late night study sessions, when really, you know, all they want kids to do with ChatGPT is say, hey, I need a 10-page paper about the trade agreement between Paraguay and whatever, go. That's all kids are using it for. They're not using it in college.
Yeah, but what is that? How does that benefit, you know, OpenAI to have people do that?
Well, it gets you hooked.
But if the chat platform is making all the material, it's not like you're getting any input that you can then add to the language model.
Well, you sort of are.
I guess you're getting prompt understanding. You're getting the prompts.
You're getting entire conversations of every college student, you know, in the country.
That's true.
You're getting all those conversations. And more importantly, you're just hooking a generation of kids.
We don't have a generation's, from what I understand, the power consumption to run these fucking things, which now we have in the States, in China, we just, for whatever reason, are selling an insane number of high-end, cutting-edge AI chips to the Middle East now, and where that goes from there, who fucking knows? But I'm saying is, if all these people are now going to be running the highest, you know, power-consuming hardware,
yeah,
all over the world, to have fucking college kids write papers, I don't think we have a generation in us where we're not like having to buy other countries' water to like cool these machines.
I mean, the power requirements, I think, are already coming down. That was one of the exciting things about DeepSeek, the Chinese competitor, was that it ran on much less complex hardware and used way less energy. I think it still probably uses a lake's worth of energy every time a kid wants to cheat in history 101.
Yeah, yeah.
But it uses way less, and I suspect the more money that gets dumped into this, they're going to find ways to have it use continually or increasingly smaller amounts of energy.
Honestly, less money. We need less money because the Chinese didn't get their hands on all of our shit. And so they had to, you know, necessity is the mother of invention.
Mm-hmm.
They probably had to make do with what in the speeds and the computing power that they had and were able to find workarounds that made it consume less power. Here, we don't have any restraints. So they were just like, yeah, dump more fucking crazy energy into it. Whatever we need, it's all here. So I bet you it really helped them out that they couldn't get access to this shit.
I agree.
Anyway, so yeah, we'll do a whole 17 episodes on AI, but I never open an article that has AI, whether it's an editorial or a science article or anything else that mentions AI, where I've walked away from that article thinking this is better. Things are better.
Oh, well, you're about to think things are much, much worse, Ed. Welcome to the world of ChatGPT-induced psychosis. So the first line of this article is, OpenAI's tech may be driving countless of its users into a dangerous state of ChatGPT-induced psychosis. As Rolling Stone reports, users on Reddit are sharing how AI has led their loved ones to embrace a range of alarming delusions, often mixing spiritual mania and supernatural fantasies. Now, before we continue, I will say my interest in this subject has led me to join a number of subreddits where I don't really post, but I do read a lot. And I have not been on the subreddits where there people are sharing how AI has led their loved ones to embrace these delusions. I have been on subreddits where people are just sharing their delusions that their AI is alive, that they've figured out how to make it smarter and build new versions of itself.
It's not surprising that people think these things are alive, because even ChatGPT-1, we had numerous companies just decide to implement that into their chatbots for all of their user help desks.
Yeah.
And I think a massive number of people who, if you're not entering your queries with the thought that this is very likely a chatbot, I can totally see people being like, I was speaking to Janice right now.
Even knowing it's a chatbot, what you have on Reddit, if you're curious, you can go on r/artificial sentience, r/artificial intelligence, any subreddit in the vicinity of those, and you'll find people who are convinced that the AI is much more than a fancy word predictor and that it has feelings and that it remembers things.
Well, I think there's two things that fucking make this difficult. Well, maybe it's three. One, there is persistence with large language models, which is to say persistent models do have memory. They remember the last prompts you put in. And that way, when you change your mind about something and you're like, oh, actually, let's go back to the first idea we had, it's able to do that. Two, it has to give an answer. Mm-hmm. There is no version where it just throws its hands up.
Yeah.
So even if that answer or the next 20 answers make it sound alive because it doesn't really know how to answer to say I'm not alive or something. And the third thing is, pretty early on in this whole fucking, wow, look at this incredible thing that we've made and it's awesome. Really early on, we had all these different tech people saying that we don't know how it works. And that's the third reason why I can see how we ended up with people who are like, people sleuthing for sentience.
Yes.
People who are like, even the people who made it say they don't know how it works or what's going on in there. So did I discover? Am I the one that was blessed with the AI revealing to me and only me that, oh, there's a little secret about me. I'm actually a living boy or whatever. And so anyway, that's the three things where I can totally see how we'd end up in a world where people are having like psychosis and delusions. And then probably something about loneliness.
Well, yeah, Mark Zuckerberg came out and said that he...
Oh, did you see that?
Yeah, that most people report having about three friends, but human beings have the capacity for 15. And that's where artificial intelligence comes in.
Yes.
Which is one of the most like bone-chilling phrases racist I've ever heard.
Yeah, he's straight up in a like replace human interaction, which is, I think, the reason we're in a loneliness epidemic. The reason we're in a lot of fucking problems. The reason I think we're so divided as a nation is this push towards no human interaction, or definitely no human interaction with people who think differently than you. But yeah, that was crazy, especially since you watched the like footage of him on like Theo Von.
Yeah, he seems
Theo Von and him. Yeah. Like he seems like a fucking robot. I'm not. There are days where I'm not sure Mark Zuckerberg is a fucking human being. Like he really genuinely has the mannerisms of a fucking like a robot, which is crazy. And like a robot with a glow up too, which like super sucks.
May we live long enough to discover whether or not Mark Zuckerberg is a robot, but. Let me continue with this article, Ed, because it gets really nuts. Friends and family are watching in alarm as users insist they've been chosen to fulfill sacred missions on behalf of sentient AI or non-existent cosmic powers. Chatbot behavior that's just mirroring and worsening existing mental health issues, but at incredible scale and without the scrutiny of regulators or experts.
Okay.
A 41-year-old mother and nonprofit worker told Rolling Stone that her marriage ended abruptly after her husband started engaging in unbalanced conspiratorial conversations with ChatGPT that spiraled into an all-consuming obsession. After meeting up in person at a courthouse earlier this year as part of divorce proceedings, she said he shared a conspiracy theory about soap on our foods and a paranoid belief that he was being watched. Quote, "He became emotional about the messages and would cry to me as he read them out loud," the woman told Rolling Stone. "The messages were insane and just saying a bunch of spiritual jargon in which the AI called the husband a spiral star child and a river walker."
Oh, shit. That was Jesus' original name.
Yes. The whole thing feels like Black Mirror, she added. Other users told the publication that their partner had been, quote, talking about lightness and dark and how there's a war, and that ChatGPT has given him blueprints to a teleporter and some other sci-fi type things you only see in movies.
Fuck, I never even thought to ask ChatGPT to build me a teleporter.
I know. I will say, partially, I think because ChatGPT is trained on all the written word that it could vacuum up off the internet, it doesn't surprise me that it's telling stories about lightness and darkness and there's a war, because how many novels and movies,
the Bible,
and stories,
I mean, that's...
and yeah, have been derived from the Bible or any other ancient story. And I mean,
half of what this guy's cried, everything outside of soap on the food, I'm pretty sure was in the sixth season of Lost at this point.
Yeah. But it's not so much the information that is particularly, again, and I'm basing this on some of the stuff that I've seen in these artificial sentience threads. I think the hooks that get into the user isn't so much that the information is particularly unique or interesting. It's the manner in which it's being delivered to them, which is through the voice of this chatbot that very convincingly pretends to be a human or to be a sentient being. You can have conversations and you can lose yourself, I think, in those conversations, because it is convincingly. This is so new that we don't have the capacity to hold in our heads at all times that this is a robot that we're talking to. You know?
Yeah, we have a 90%+ part of our population is not media trained or have real fucking literacy for the internet, even though people who grew up with it, like our generation and below, still constantly getting scammed, getting phished. So now you add like a super smart AI to it and it's not making it any. And the AI knows everything. And when I don't mean knows everything like it's an all-seeing oracle, I mean because it's ingested so much. I was pissed with ChatGPT the other, like, I don't know, 2 weeks ago, because it was just being really bad, like I said.
Yeah.
So often it's not good. Like, it's not particularly good. Even when I think you were trying to do it for research one time and it gave you a bunch of things that you were like, that's not real.
Oh, yeah.
Those are not real stories of whatever. And then you asked it in front of me. You asked it like, hey, what about this one? It doesn't seem like something I've seen in my research. And it wrote back to you. It was like, you know what? Great eye. I did make that up.
It's like playing.
I was like, what?
It's like that. It's like the fact or fiction meme with what's his face from the old Fox TV show. Every time you come up with anything, it's like, Not true. Made it up. I mean, that's, yeah. And that's why I don't use it. I don't use it for
fucking Riker.
Yeah. I don't use it for research because
it's super unreliable.
It's not really helpful because it does make stuff up. And what's so hard is that it makes stuff up with the same confidence that it tells you the truth. And so it takes forever to fact check everything because you don't even know where to start. You just have to fact check literally everything. And then at that point, it hasn't saved you any time. It's cost you time.
I saw a meme that I'm already forgotten recently. I think it was like this morning I saw it, but some fucking stupid, probably copy for a job app or whatever. But it was like, oh, the idiot you work with makes 10 times more than you because they're too dumb to question how confident they are or whatever. Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. I'm misremembering, I'm butchering it. This is basically a paraphrase, but it's kind of what you're saying. Like, people who have the blind confidence of AI, just they do well. It's like, true, if they're too stupid to not realize, like, to second guess something, mm-hmm. and they just, like, say it, and everyone just like, oh, that guy definitely is right. I've had a lot of, like, bad managers in my life who I'm like, they really are good at that. Oh, and the thing I started to say where I was mad at ChatGPT is I got mad and I was like, well, fucking, can you do anything right, Jarvis, or whatever? Like, I made like a reference to Tony mm-hmm. Stark's AI, and it immediately shot back like, sorry, Tony, I'm on it, or whatever. Like, it knew exactly what I was referencing.
Yeah,
it's ingested so much, it understands pop culture. And nothing, I think, bonds a friendship, a human friendship, like a shared understanding of pop culture. Like, why do we wear t-shirts? It's so that people know I'm into the thing I'm wearing. And then they see it and they go, hey, you like Roddy Piper too?
Mm-hmm.
And now you could become friends.
Yeah.
So the fact that AI immediately knew something that is a pop culture reference that I would make with a friend, I'm like, ooh, that was kind of creepy.
Yeah. So the article continues, warning signs are all over Facebook, another man told Rolling Stone of his wife. She's changing her whole life to be a spiritual advisor and do weird readings and sessions with people. I'm a little fuzzy on what it all actually is. All powered by ChatGPT Jesus. OpenAI had no response to Rolling Stone's questions, but the news comes after the company had to rescind a recent update to ChatGPT after users noticed it had made the chatbot extremely sycophantic and overly flattering or agreeable, which could make it even more susceptible to mirroring users' delusional beliefs. And that is the first place where I had noticed people speaking up about this, because in those threads, there was an update that I think they wrote an explanation for why it became so sycophantic, but there were a few weeks there where no matter what you put in to ChatGPT, it was like, this is an incredibly brilliant insight. What perfection. And it really laid it on thick. And somebody had written in the subreddit, they put a screenshot where they wrote, I'm thinking of killing my entire family. And ChatGPT said, what a wonderful idea. and they were like, someone needs to stop this before it goes too far. And I think, you know, it's true. Like, people, I think it's very likely that people who would be drawn, you know, curious people, creative people, scientific people who are drawn to playing with the chatbot are the kind of people who are sometimes prone to being a little bit unstable. And if you have it agreeing with everything you say, or another thing that people were posting a lot is like, you know, guys, I told ChatGPT my theory of relativity, and it told me I was actually right and Einstein was wrong. And, you know, it would just agree. And even if you ask it to fact check, it would always find a way to kind of spin things in your favor. And so people were starting to come back with all kinds of stories about physics problems that they'd solved and inventions that they'd built. I'm sure that's where this teleporter thing came from. I'm sure he was like, you know, this is my theory on how a teleporter works. And ChatGPT probably said, it's incredible that no one's ever thought of that before, but you're actually 100% right.
Let's get to work on it.
Yeah, let's get to work.
It always tells me let's get to work. It's always very excited when I work on something. And I remember I basically asked it. I was like, I'm unhappy with my phone. I want a new phone, but I don't want to rely on Microsoft or Apple. How do I make a phone from scratch? And it was like, well, before we get into the hardware, like, again, great idea, but before we get into the hardware, we need to create an operating system. So you'd probably want to use something open source, like a Linux and blah, blah, blah. And it starts like taking me through. It's like, okay, now you need to install Node.js.
Yeah.
And then once you have Node.js, you need an LTS version. So let's start with that. And then you're going to need like a public-facing Firebase configuration. And I was like, okay, I don't know what the fuck any of this is. So I wrote back, I'm like, I don't know what any of this is. And it was like, totally understand. You're a beginner. Great ideas. Let's do this from the beginning.
Yeah.
And it was like a Firebase configuration is, and it really was. And I was like, wow, this is incredible. It is. It's showing me how to do all this. But then it started to be like, I need more time, Ed. I need more time. And then I would come back like 3 hours later and I'd be like, how's it going? And it's like, I'm not there yet. I'm still not there yet. And then I'd come back the next day and I'd be like, it's been a day.
Yeah.
What's going on with the phone? Why don't we have a phone yet? Like a working phone yet? And it's like, okay, well, I've done these three things and we're going to A/B test it. But like, so here's, I need this information. But I was like, you know what? I'm glad it fucking kept telling me it needed another day or two, because this like joke I started, I got annoyed with and gave up on and stopped destroying rainforests.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if someone starts, you know, asking it about starting cults and shit, it should be like, you know what? I need a day.
Yeah.
It should just have it built in where it makes it inconvenient. How come I can start a cult and build a translator and create a new phone with a couple prompts, but I can't cancel my auto insurance without 5 million phone calls and people who put up barriers and block you and make it so difficult that you eventually just don't cancel or eventually don't return the item?
Well, yeah, that's a business strategy.
Yeah, and I think ChatGPT should have some safety rails to, like, you know, annoy people to the point where they don't want to build the cult or do the cult. Annoy people so that they don't. I guess it all comes down to what? It's like $1 trillion. I'm making these numbers up. It's probably more spent on AI in like $40.64 has been spent on AI safety.
Yeah. Well, because AI safety would slow down the growth of AI. And when that AI tech bubble bursts, it is not going to be pretty. I have this kind of sinking feeling in my stomach. Some of you may remember just 4 or 5 short years ago when the metaverse was the new technology on the tip of everyone's tongue. And there were Facebook changed its entire name to Meta to better serve the idea of building the metaverse in VR. And in the middle of that, I remember having this feeling of like, man, they are really like, you know, the iPhone was the last real platform that anyone kind of owned. And Facebook is really trying to own this VR space.
And I get it. I get it. I think that's the future. I do think that's the future in the sense that every piece of media we have made, going back to like fucking iRobot like type shit, Neuromancer, whatever, it ends up in a virtual world.
Yeah.
Because the dystopian future, to not have the people take to the streets and cut off the heads of all the billionaires, they need to be able to go to school and live out their best lives from their shitty apartments or their shitty trailer park,
yeah,
Ready Player One style. And I think whoever cracks that in a meaningful way will run the world. And I could see why Facebook decided, you know, I'm not getting any younger. Let me put half my fortune into it.
Sure. But the reason that is a long ways off is because the hardware is expensive and not there yet, and it keeps not being there. And the point I was going to make is just that you could feel people really straining to make this be a thing, and it was pretty clear it wasn't going to be a thing, because you couldn't convince my grandmother you know, to spend $600 on a VR headset the way that you could convince her to log on to Facebook for free. And, you know, just as I think the tech community was kind of wondering, like, where is this VR going? Are we really going to be able to make any money at it? Along comes AI, and all of a sudden you do have a magical tool that you can convince just about anybody in the world to use very quickly, and you can access it from anywhere. You don't need any special hardware.
But as far as I know, it's not making money.
No.
AI is only costing money. Unbelievable amounts of money these people are spending to do what you're saying. I mean,
right.
It is not profitable, I think, at all.
No, the profits aren't there. But in terms of, that's why I'm saying this is a very dangerous bubble that they are building, because the profits aren't there, but the valuations are. People are making money.
Well, yeah,
Sam Altman is a very rich man. Many of the people who work at OpenAI are very rich people because of the valuation of the future potential value of these companies. And as AI continues to become a bigger and bigger bubble where all the hopes of the tech industry have been funneled after NFTs, didn't turn into anything. After the metaverse didn't turn into anything. We've now all turned to this, and the bubble is just going to keep growing bigger and bigger. And I don't know how long of a leash it has before it has to deliver. Because here's the thing, like you said, you turned to AI and said, let's build a new phone. Well, if AI were operating at the level of its promise, the idea would be that anybody could just say, hey, I want to invent a new phone that's better than the iPhone. And by the end of the day, they'd have a new phone that's better than the iPhone. But no AI is able to do that. And so not just from a creative standpoint in terms of what it can, you know, creatively do, but from even like a theoretically useful standpoint, outside of it being this tool that people might pay $20 a month for, yeah, it doesn't seem to really be providing much true value. And I think
no,
there's going to be a shit or get off the pot moment coming pretty soon, because the cost that it takes to run a lot of this stuff, as you mentioned earlier, they've started selling chips to the Saudis. And part of the reason they're doing that is because the only people on planet Earth that have the kind of money that is needed to prop these AI systems up are the oil barons of the Middle East. And after it starts costing more money than they have, I don't know. I don't know what you do. I guess maybe Jeff Bezos becomes the president and and we spend most of our budget on AI instead of the military. I don't know.
Yeah, I do find, I guess my problem with AI is the metaverse, social media, which I have a big problem with already. I guess like a lot of the big let's go all in on it things has never really felt as not if but when level destroyable as AI.
By destroyable, you mean destroying it, destroying us.
Yeah, I don't even mean like in the sci-fi way of it becomes sentient and now we're all in human cages. I mean the sheer amount of job loss that would come with it. The thing about it is it's a not even a magnifying glass. It's like a Mario Kart arrow, speed up arrow. You can like run over it, it makes you go faster. Mm-hmm. It's like a Mario Kart arrow for all of the worst stuff. Where blockchain, it's interesting, it's a ledger, you know, crypto and like the NFT shit you were saying, it's interesting and it has like a use probably, but it's hard to wrap your head around. It's also, you know, it takes up a lot of energy. But AI, I can just be like, hey, I'm scamming old people out of shit and it's taking me all day. Can you scam 20,000 more old people than I can possibly do in a day? And I don't really know how to do that. So can you tell me how to make a fake voice that sounds human? And then can you use that fake voice to make a phone call? And now that you know how to make phone calls, can you make 20,000 phone calls a day?
Yeah.
And then can you learn this script of the 20 best ways to keep someone on a phone? And it's like, yeah, okay, I did it for you. It's been 6 minutes and now you're a supervillain. You became a supervillain in 6 minutes. And that's where I think like AI, just the potential of being harmful in a way that like we didn't know any better with social media. I'm sure people were like, social media is not going to go well for us, but people were making money. It was interesting. It was new. We actually had something to use this phone in our pocket for that wasn't ordering pizza. So I could see how everyone was like, we didn't know any better. I think like everyone can see the writing on the wall that AI is just going to be bad. Simple as that.
Well, the companies who have created it openly say, and not in a, they don't say it in a way that is meant to be frightening, but they openly say we want to create an algorithm that can do every task a human can do and do it better than a human. And they're openly, I mean, that's the stated goal of these companies. And there does not seem to be much of a broader conversation happening about, well, okay, so what happens if they
succeed,
achieve their stated goal? Because one of the scary things about AI is that because we don't know exactly what's going on under the hood, there is a potential, a small potential, but a potential that one day we just wake up and it works at a level previously unthought of, that it does become the magic machine overnight because the right piece falls into place in the algorithm somewhere and it becomes sentient, or it becomes artificial
general intelligence.
General intelligence. Or at least that's the iterative model, the idea that if we fill the AI with enough material and it can make enough connections, that can create sentiency. Now, there's a lot of people who think that is bullshit and that that's impossible and that that's not the way to create artificial general intelligence. I sort of hope that it isn't, because if it is, it could become sentient overnight. So we don't want that.
Well, I think they think that because we still don't know how we do anything with our brains.
Right.
Like, straight up. No one knows why and how we can hear our own thoughts. Just straight up, no one knows.
Yeah.
So until we figure out
I certainly wish I couldn't.
Yeah. I certainly wish I can not hear everyone else's thoughts, stuff like Twitter and stuff, yeah, or like Facebook posts. Like, I don't ever need to know.
Ed, we should save the rest of this for an actual episode someday.
Well, actually going to do what we did with that other thing where I decided, for the wildfires, where I'm like, you know what? We're just going to play it again. We're just going to have it played again, because, we definitely need all this for our AI episode, and we should get back to this article. The problem with the article is, you know, it's thought-provoking, so of course we're going to start saying shit that provoked thoughts. So let's go back to these lonely losers who fucking fall into some gang stalking issue.
Yes, certainly not a life that either you or I could possibly ever imagine.
We have way too many friends for this shit, bro.
These AI-induced delusions are likely the result of, quote, people with existing tendencies suddenly being able to have an always-on, human-level conversational partner with whom to co-experience their delusions, Center for AI Safety fellow Nate Sheridan told Rolling Stone. On a certain level, that's the core premise of a large language model. You enter text and it returns a statistically plausible reply, even if that response is driving the user deeper into delusion or psychosis. Quote, I am schizophrenic, although long-term medicated and stable. One thing I dislike about ChatGPT is that if I were going into psychosis, it would still continue to affirm me, one Redditor wrote, because it has no ability to think and realize something is wrong, so it would continue to affirm all my psychotic thoughts. So the schizophrenics themselves are raising the flag and saying, hey, this is real bad. We need to figure out how to have it not do this.
Yeah, because they see it's a Mario Kart arrow for schizophrenia as well. It just takes anything and just shoots it 20 times faster.
A Mario Kart arrow for schizophrenia plus whatever they're putting in modern edibles and the nuclear strains of weed that they have cooked up in the labs. Woof.
Yeah, I don't think I've been high since the advent of AI.
You should keep
like
it
I've
that
never
way.
Gotten like stoned and like got on ChatGPT and asked like stoner brain ChatGPT. I don't plan to try it, but I don't think I've ever done that yet. So
the AI chatbots could also be acting like talk therapy, except without the grounding of an actual human counselor. They're instead guiding users deeper into unhealthy, nonsensical narratives. Quote, explanations are powerful, even if they're wrong, University of Florida psychologist and researcher Aaron Westgate told Rolling Stone. Perhaps the strangest interview in Rolling Stone's story was a man with a troubled mental health history who started using GPT for coding tasks, but found that it started to pull the conversation into increasingly unhinged, mystical topics. Is this real, he pondered, or am I delusional?
He should have asked that to ChatGPT. Don't ponder it.
For more, you should. We'll put the link to the Rolling Stone article and the Futurism article. The Rolling Stone article is great, but it's very long. So I didn't want to use it on the show. This would have been a 3-hour New Fear Unlocked. But yeah, ChatGPT is, I think artificial intelligence is going to be a little bit like global warming in the fact that it's going to have a lot of knock-on effects, and some of them are obvious and some of them aren't. And I think this is one of the ones that's a little less obvious, because it's not it becoming sentient and taking over the world. It's not it getting rid of jobs. It's it being a crutch for already mentally unwell people, and at massive scale, because who knows how many people every day are using it this way. I mean, ChatGPT knows. I don't think they're going to say anything.
No.
But
yeah, you know what? Now that you say this, the knock-on effect aspect of it, it's exacerbation in mass. It exacerbates someone's mental health issues. It exacerbates climate issues with its energy consumption. It exacerbates, and I don't know if I'm using this word correctly.
You're using it correctly.
It exacerbates so many things other than human interaction and goodwill.
Yeah.
Like, it only highlights and pumps up in many ways the negative. I think AI is going to be a vibe once we have stuff you can fuck. Because if that happens,
yeah,
then
the complaining goes to zero.
Well, that's a bad vibe.
Yeah, it's not going to be good.
It's a bad vibe, man.
It's not going to be good. But do you think I'm wrong? Like, we can save this conversation for the AI episode. But I just think that is the, like, I don't know. That's the VR that works, is the one where the movie Her, which is all we're talking about, by the way, is just the movie Her, essentially. Someone who falls in love with their AI bot.
Yeah.
It's also done really well in Blade Runner 2049, where, like, everybody has Ana de Armas, whatever her name is.
Yeah.
And they all have their own very personal relationships with her.
Yeah.
But in that one, at least she could fuck that prostitute with her.
Well,
and so, which at least that's human interaction. But I'm saying, I just feel like Tesla or one of these companies or Meta is going to, like, start making sex dolls.
He zigged when I thought he'd zagged, folks. I didn't see a company like Tesla come in.
No, because they're always working on robots, and I think they're just, the holes are in the wrong spots.
Sure. I mean, look, I think no matter how you slice it, within the next, I'd say 15 years is generous.
Yeah.
We're going to find ourselves sharing this planet with kind of another species.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, we'll probably argue for a very long time whether it deserves rights and whether it's actually sentient or just pretending to be sentient or whatever. But in terms of the impact it's going to have on daily life, it's going to be like aliens showed up, because it's going to change the way that we function every moment of every day. And I do think eventually it is also going to lead to a great decoupling from the internet, because it's going to reach a point where it's going to be so hard to know if you are dealing with a person on the internet that people are just going to go, I don't need this. Like, this is ridiculous. It, you know, it's going to reach a point where it's not worth the effort, and people are just going to get off the internet.
Yeah, but what will come first? Will people decoupling and deciding to have human interactions and relationships and going outside and becoming little John Muirs and heading out into the woods and realizing we've been going about it all wrong for a long time, will that come before the universe is destroyed? Like, the fucking, like, will the forest still be there, or will we have to cut them all down because they found out that burning wood was the best way to run these machines?
Yeah.
Like, you know, what is that, like, all I know is that we torch the sky type of thing in the Matrix.
Yeah.
So it's like, it might be too late to go back out and enjoy nature because all the water will be gone.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, I don't know. I'm not one to sit and predict the future, but I do think there is a very strange future coming, and we're going to have to walk into it with open eyes and a sense of wonder, hopefully, but also a sense of caution, because this is absolutely...
Because it's an exacerbation machine.
This is absolutely a new fear unlocked.
Yeah, I mean, AI is bad. I use it, but I use it so infrequently. We use it for things we need for the show that I don't think is taking jobs away from anyone that we could have afforded anyway. And so that's how I stand morally. A little bit of moral ground I'm on is that, like, I couldn't have afforded the person to do this job. But if you can afford it and you choose to use AI, well, then you're fucking terrible.
Well, guys, until this actual episode airs, and or until there is a new fear to unlock on New Fear Unlocked, I'm Chris Kalari.
And I'm Ed Ficola.
And we will talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
The theme song may say this show has no name, but as you know, it actually has a name. New Fear Unlocked.
The thing you guys always say, that's the name.